Welcome to episode 74 of the Mommy Beta podcast. I'm Jennifer Nichols, and joining me today to talk about all the fun topics in the parenting world is Natalie Gafori. Hey, Nat.
Hey, Jennifer.
How's it going?
It's going.
Well, we have a glimpse into what's going on into Natalie's life, and that's something we're going to talk about on today's show. We're going to talk about how parenting really isn't all sunshine and roses, even though we look at our mommy friends and think they have it all together. We're going to talk about the best pieces of parenting advice, whether maternity leave is wasted on new parents, and my little baby Beta turning two this past week and how I'm not really sure how I feel about that. So let's just kick it off with Natalie's tone that she set for the podcast today.
I am such a Debbie Downer.
You've been dealing with a lot. I mean, a new baby, and literally, like, when did you move into your new house after having baby Z?
He was born on the 1st. We closed on the 21st and we moved on the 26th.
Oh,
so he was 26 days old.
Wow. And yeah, and did you have much help?
I did. I had so much help. So, I mean, there's no way I could have done it if I didn't have the help. Dominic spent a lot of time with Sean's mom, and my mom and dad came into town and did so much of the packing, and, you know, we hired movers, and, you know, there's no way. Because, you know, I had a C-section, too, so not only did I have to take care of this baby and was sleep-deprived, but I physically couldn't, you know, do what I would have normally done. So I definitely had tons of help. And, you know, now we're pretty settled. And the kind of scary thing is that, you know, we're pretty settled in the house now. So I don't really have that excuse anymore. And it's still really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, so I guess, that's the interesting thing that, yeah. And Natalie Morris had chimed in on this too.
Right. So I was writing a thank you note to Natalie Morris the other day. She actually, all the mommy betas went in and got us a little housewarming gift, which was super sweet. And I was writing her thank you note. And my thank you note was kind of a Debbie Downer thank you note. It was like, you know, this is so hard, but you make it look so graceful. And, you know, just, you know, showing her appreciation for the great job she's doing. And then a couple days later, she sends out an email basically saying, you know, this is super hard. And it just kind of struck me that, you know, we're all kind of putting on this like happy face, which is what you do in the world. You know, you don't want to throw your problems or your struggles at everybody. You know, they have things to deal with on their own, but it was kind of a relief to see, not that I want her to struggle, of course, but that, you know, she was feeling the same way, that, you know, these kids are a lot to handle. And, you know, I was just talking to my mom and she said, you know, of course she struggled too, but we've got kind of a lot of extra stuff these days that our parents didn't necessarily have to deal with. You know, we've got work and, you know, there's kind of a lot more social pressure, you know, play dates and, you know, the right preschool and all that kind of stuff, that, you know, our parents didn't necessarily have to deal with. So it's been a struggle, but I wanted to share the email thread that we had going on between us, so that everybody who's listening to Mommy Beta and reading Mommy Beta knows that if they're feeling like that, they're not alone.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see that one of the frustrations shared, and it's not necessarily a frustration because we love our husbands and we feel so lucky that they're here and they are so supportive. But as moms, sometimes we just want them to read our mind. We want them to know that they need to pack the snack cup and don't forget to grab the shoes and did you bring the little potty and all those things. Because usually when you get to a location, or at least when I do, Tom's like, oh, did you do this? Did you bring this? And I'm like, yeah, did you? A few times I've just said, no, did you? Just to freak him out.
Yeah, I definitely do that sometimes.
But I think as moms, we also feel bad about asking for a break or a timeout, mm-hmm. because this is sort of what we do, and we're supposed to love being able to do this all day long. And it just gets hard, but you need a break from anything that you do. And so Natalie Morris had mentioned that in here in her comment that she'd written, that, you know what, she loves her family, she loves being with them, but what she really wants, this all started with what we want for Christmas,
oh, yeah.
what we want for holiday. And it's like, you know what, forget the things you have to buy.
Material things.
Material things, yeah. Give me some time. Give me a little break.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Because I think I even wrote in that little thank you note that I sent Nat that I might use my my little gift toward a massage. Because I just, you know, we need some time to do our own thing and just decompress a little bit. It's just the constant. I read a post the other day. I think a bad parenting moment blog. I think that was basically like, I just want 7 minutes of silence. You know, it was called 7 minutes in heaven or something like that. She was jealous of the people she saw driving around in their cars by themselves because have a child screaming in the backseat.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We just turned L around. So there's a lot more commotion going on there. Snacky. Oh, this is where we're going. No, I want to go there.
Yeah. It's fun when you turn them around. I mean, it's definitely kind of a different car experience, but I think it's great to be able to point more things out to Dominic, and he's kind of talking about the things that he's seeing, and I think that's fun.
Yeah, and then eventually they're going to get smart enough to know that we're not going where we said we were going. We're going somewhere else.
You always have to do what you say, right?
Yes, you do, and that leads us into the best parenting advice a New York Times writer of the Motherlode blog wrote. A pretty cute, not cute, I guess, but interesting post about the best piece of parenting advice she had made. I guess she was at a school, and she had planned this really fun outing for her toddler or son, I don't actually know the age, to go ice skating. And he was wound up and running around, and I guess maybe she had made the request for him to put on his boots a number of times. And then she got to the point where she said, you know what, if you don't put your boots on, we're not going ice skating. And of course, he just kept going off doing whatever he was doing. And the preschool teacher tapped her on the shoulder and said, well, you know, you can't go ice skating now. Now, I don't know how I would feel about that. I would say, you know what? I can go ice skating if I want to go ice skating. Maybe I was just saying it. I probably wouldn't have taken it as well as she had taken it. But she took it as the best piece of parenting advice she had ever received. And they didn't go ice skating that day. And when she pulled back in the driveway, her son cried for an hour, she said. And it was a miserable day for everybody. But she said it paid off for her. And this is something I'm not very good at. I'm working on not saying these things like, okay, Elle, we need to, if you, you know, finish your dinner, we'll have dessert, you know, and then I end up giving her a lollipop or something. Bad parent.
I remember getting similar advice to that pretty early on, that basically, you know, if you make the threat, you have to follow through. And I think it was probably from our preschool teacher too. So we've tried to be really good about that. I have to remind my husband though sometimes, because he'll make threats that I'm not willing to follow through with. Like he'll be like, you know, if you don't do this, then we're not going to Connor's house tonight, and say, you know, Connor's house, it's our good friends that have kids, and we are going to have like a nice adult dinner and let the kids play off to the side. And I'm not willing to sacrifice my nice adult dinner. So I had to look at him and be like, you know, you can't make that threat. Luckily, Dominic did whatever he wanted him to do. So we didn't have to follow through with not going, but I always try to be really careful with what I threaten to make sure it's something that I'm willing to take away, because sometimes we do things that he enjoys, but they're for me too. You know, like, you know, going ice skating would be a fun thing for mom to do, like in this post. Mm-hmm. So I try to be very careful about that. And it's hard, you know, like last night he wouldn't eat dinner and it was super frustrating. And I told him that, you know, if he didn't eat anything at the table, then he wasn't going to get anything later. And I caved and gave him a couple pieces of salami after dinner because he asked for them and he hadn't eaten anything. And I was like, okay, aww, well, this kid's got to eat.
Right.
And I'm not giving him, you know, cookies or whatever, but you know, sometimes I still do cave.
Yeah. And it's hard, but I do think the point you make about, you know, communicating with your husband and having the same strategy, the author of this writes that in here about how they really talked it out and now they're on the same page of, you know, what we'll actually be willing to do. Mm-hmm. And I need to be better about that with Tom, because, you know, sometimes I say something or sometimes he says something, and we're not always on the same page when it comes to discipline, but I'm sure that's always the case with
any parent. We're starting to get that a little bit too, because Dominic, he had a great summer. He had stopped all the hitting and pushing pretty much all summer, and now he's back to it. And, you know, it's kind of a whole nother topic. You know, maybe it's related to the preschool environment. I don't know. I can't tell. But so we're having to kind of go hardcore on the discipline again. And Sean's a bigger fan of timeouts than I am. I don't feel like they're really doing much good. So mm-hmm. I've actually just bought the Positive Discipline book, which my preschool teacher is a big fan of, and I know Nat just read. And I'm going to try to get some input there and try to get some better strategies. But it's hard for me to let Sean discipline the way he wants to discipline because I don't necessarily agree with it, but I don't have a better solution. So I've just been letting him do that if he feels like it's necessary. So hopefully I can read this book and he can read the sections that I think are important and we can kind of get on the same page and start.
Yeah. I read some of that book too. I'm planning to finish it. It's a good book and it's insightful. And I agree. I'm struggling as well because timeouts, I don't know how effective they are either. Mm-hmm. And then that book, you know, the whole premise seems to be that, you know, who came up with the idea of that making your children feel worse but will make them be better people,
right,
or do better. So, yeah it's hard. However, there's always a strict and a more strict parent. Mm-hmm. I think Tom is the more strict parent among the two of us. What about you two?
It kind of goes back and forth, actually. I think Sean can be more strict. I don't know. That's hard. I think I have more, you know what? I really don't know. I think I probably have more rules, but he's more strict. Forcing them. I can't really put my finger on it. Because sometimes Dominic does something that Sean will want to discipline him for, but I'll be like, no, you know, like that's something that he should be able to do because, you know, he's a kid and we should, you know, not say no all the time. That's actually a tough question. I always thought that I would be more of the disciplinarian, but I don't think it's as clear cut with us.
Yeah. I think it's all about different situations, like with mm-hmm. potty training and accidents or bedtime and or cleanup or things like that. Mm-hmm. We all have our areas. But it's funny because I can get a little testy of like if he tells me like, no, that's not, we shouldn't let them do that, or mm-hmm. you're telling me a way to discipline.
Yeah, actually, I feel like that too. I feel like I'm giving Sean instruction all the time, but when he gives me instruction, it does feel weird. And I don't know if when I give him instruction, he feels that way, or if it's just because it doesn't happen very often that he gives me instruction that it feels weird. I don't know, but I feel you there.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think, just going to put you on the spot, do you have a best piece of parenting advice you felt like were given?
Something that they talk about at preschool a lot that I've been trying to impart on Sean lately is tell him what he can do, not what he can't do. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying no, you know, don't touch the baby like that, you say, touch the baby gently, or, you know, don't stand on that chair. You say, you know, sit on your bottom, please.
Yeah. So you're not so much a negative.
Right. So that way you don't constantly feel like you're saying no, and they're not constantly hearing no, what they can't do. They're hearing what they can do, which I have to repeat over and over to myself to make sure I'm actually doing it. But I find that I like it. It makes everybody kind of a little bit happier in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard. I feel like we were given so many pieces of advice that we put to use, but and with different ages, mm-hmm. you know, with the babies and all of that. But I honestly, I don't think I can come up with one single thing. I feel like lately I've just been realizing that my daughter might act out more when I'm not giving her the love and attention she deserves as mm-hmm. much, you know. I mean, she's getting attention and love, but, you know, just using those moments that we have together, especially before the baby comes, to just mm-hmm. really focus on her and all that. So I'm making more of a attempt to do that instead of just being distracted by all this work that piles up.
Yeah, it's hard. But one thing that we made a mistake with, especially with the move and having my parents in town, is we were so careful with Dominic not to let him feel, you know, kind of ignored or second rate, that we focused on him so much that he kind of lost the ability to play by himself. He was really good at playing on his own before we moved. And in the last couple of weeks, we've really had to make a concerted effort to get him to do it again. Because he was just so used to there always being somebody who would sit on the floor with him and play with him, which is great. And I think really made the transition better for him. You know, you know, I wouldn't change it too much because I felt like it was good for him, but just something mm-hmm. to kind of keep in the back of your mind to let her still get that alone playtime, even when your house is full of people. Because it's,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. It's made it hard. Like for us to get dressed in the morning is a challenge again. And it had kind of stopped being one for a while. So just something to keep in mind.
That's hard. Yeah. When you get used to something.
Yeah.
So, well, let's move on to our next story, and it's an interesting one. It talks about maternity leave. It was on Wall Street Journal's The Juggle blog, and it talks about it's a mom who's now enjoying her 13-month-old son. She's returned to work, and she's really enjoying this time because, you know, he's developing into his own little person. He's cooing, he's talking, he's doing all these fun things, and it makes her wonder, maybe she would rather have this time with the baby than the initially when she brought the baby home and it was just constant feeding and dirty diapers because they go to the bathroom how many times a day? Remind me, Natalie,
I mean, especially because we're doing the formula now, so at least partly. So we only get once a day, but I mean, it's huge once a day. But before we started that, I mean, it's every time you change, there's poop. So, you know, at least every hour, every 2 hours.
Yeah. So she's just talking about, you know, maybe it would have been better for her to go back in the real world sooner, maybe a month after the baby was born, and then take those other 2 months later. Now, personally, I feel like this is very, very much a personal opinion and decision because I just think back to that time and you're there right now, mm-hmm. Natalie, but I think back to that time and I'm just like, I needed that break. I needed to be just in my sweatpants. Yes, I love dressing up and all that stuff, but you are tired. You're exhausted. I didn't want to get back into the office and have to deal with deadlines and all that stuff. I wanted to be there and just start trying to get back into my old self.
Yeah, I think it would be really hard for me, especially to leave a baby that's that little with someone else. I think that would be the sticking point for me, because it's just this little. I mean, at 4 weeks, I mean they're just these little like balls of pudge. You know, like they're not. I don't know how I would be able to leave. You know, for 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, a baby that little. But I do appreciate her sentiment in that, you know, how much do you really enjoy each other from, say, weeks 4 to 8? I mean, 8's when they start smiling and, you know, it starts being a little bit more exciting starting around 8 weeks. But that 4 to 8 weeks, I think, is really hard because the kind of newness of it has worn off and mm-hmm. it's still constant. You know, they're still feeding every 2 hours. There's no input back from them. You know, they're not smiling. They're not really acknowledging you. So I can see how that little chunk of time would be nice to maybe let somebody else take the day shift, as she said. Because then maybe, you know, you could save that 4 weeks and you could have that later when there's a little bit more dialogue, if you will, between you and the baby. I can definitely appreciate the idea of that, but in execution, I think it would be hard.
Yeah, I agree. I remember the first time I left Elle with someone, and it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. even now, when I let my daughter ride around in other people's car, like my mother-in-law yesterday, I just still like freak out. Like, oh my gosh, is she going to be okay? So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And, you know, I think the first time around is just different with a baby mm-hmm. because they are your whole world and you haven't really seen what they grow into, you know, and all the neat, fun little things that they're doing now or funny little things that, you know, your toddler says. So and you're working to that point. So it's a little different when you're with your first as opposed to your second. But yeah, I think the newborn phase is kind of boring.
I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but I think that newborns are kind of wasted on first time moms because you're so overwhelmed and you think it's so hard and so stressful. And parts of it can be. And if you have a colicky baby, absolutely, it's super hard. But you know, if you have a general like an easy type baby, you know, they're pretty mellow. It's pretty like, at least to me, like this newborn stage is so much easier than Dominic, than the toddler, you know, like when it's just me and Zachary at home, it's like smooth sailing. But you know, throw Dominic into the mix and it's hard. And even Dominic on his own is more, and you know, kind of intensive. So I think it's kind of a message to first-time moms to just really, you know, try not to make it harder than it is. You know, don't stress yourself out about it. You know, just snuggle your baby, feed him when he's hungry. You know, just enjoy it as much as you can. And I know everybody says that, but it's true.
You know, Alex and I were talking about this on the playground yesterday, and she, you know, she had a really rough time, you know, with the postpartum and the thrush and the colicky baby. I mean, it was just the works. And we were talking about, you know, you and Natalie talking about, you know, how hard having two are because we're working on number two. They're growing in us. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we're so scared. No, but Alex said that she, you know, there is a bright light, a bright point to, I guess, having a really hard first time around is that maybe, you know, if the baby's not colicky, then it could seem, you know, easier. You know,
yeah.
It's hard to say. Like, she could feel like she has an easier time this time around just because everything was so hard the first time.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I think a toddler plus easy, I'm using air quotes and you can't tell, but an easy baby plus a toddler has got to be easier than one colicky newborn. I mean, I can't even imagine crying all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that one goes beyond me. When Zachary cries for 5 minutes, I'm like, what am I doing? You
know? I'm the same way. I told her that. I said I couldn't even handle like an hour of crying, which we never even had. But
yeah, I don't think I've ever experienced more than 10 minutes of crying at a time.
Yeah.
So she deserves a gold star.
She does. So I think, you know, her number two, I have a good feeling about it. I think she's probably might have the best experience of all of us.
I hope so. And she finds out soon what it is. I'm so excited.
I know. Me too. I can't wait. We're taking bets. So if you want to say or cast your vote, leave a comment on the blog, on the podcast. So on our last story, I just wrote a story about my daughter, Elle, turning two this past week. And I've written blogs here and there about, oh, I'm so tired. This is so hard. Particularly, you know, when she's gotten into the toddler stage and has started acting out when she couldn't express herself as much as she wanted to. But it feels like every night when I put her to bed, I just get so sad because, you know, the time is just going by so fast. And I looked at these two videos that I posted on the blog of us singing happy birthday when she was one and now at two. And she's just changed so much over the past year. In a good way, but it tugs at my heart because I'm just, you know, she's growing up. Do you feel that way too, Nat? Do you feel like you have like a million emotions and you're like,
I do. And even just looking at these pictures of Elle, I mean, I have all these emotions for you, for Elle, because she is, I mean, just looking at the screenshots of these videos I'm looking at right now, and she's just such a big girl compared to last year. I mean, she's the same. It's I love how she's in the same high chair, in the same spot, in the same color. And it's just, it's a wonderful way to be able to kind of compare where she's, how far she's come in this year. And I'm so proud of her and for you. And I just had this thought, and this might make you even more emotional, but next year she probably won't even be in that high chair because she'll be such a big girl. You know, she'll be sitting at her own little chair, or, you know, a little table or something like that. So I think it's really special that you have these videos and can look at this and kind of remember all of this stuff, you know, 10 years down the road.
Yeah, I actually didn't even intentionally do that, but I was glad I did because you do the chair thing where you set Dominic and Zach, baby Z, into this one same distinctive chair in their glider in their nursery each month and take a picture. You're so good about that, but that's a really creative idea. But I mean, Dominic, you know, he's coming up on three already.
No, I can't even believe that.
So, I mean, with the two, are you just sort of like skirting along and you're like, okay, this is good because Zachary's getting bigger, even though my little firstborn is all growing up?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit hard because I think we're probably done. I don't think we're going to have any more kids. So it's a little hard that Zachary's starting to grow out of his like 0 to 3 month clothes. And I'm like, oh, the tiny things, you know, like, you know, getting a little teared up just thinking about it. But, you know, it's also fun because he's starting to coo and he recognizes my voice and he smiles at me. And just knowing all those fun things that are to come is pretty exciting. And to be excited about him, you know, playing with Dominic soon, you know, I mean, You know, I think that'll be here before we know it. So it's a little sad to, you know, see the baby-ness changing, but you know, it's all for good things. It's every stage has been kind of more fun than the last, even if it's gotten a little harder. It's definitely more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember before baby Z was born, I think it may have been the last podcast, you had teared up because you were talking about, you know, that, you know, it wasn't going to be the three of you anymore. You were excited about the one coming, but it, you know, Dominic may not eventually remember that time.
That's hard. Yeah. But so, I think, you know, so far, at least we've done a good job at continuing to make Dominic feel special and doing things on our own with him. And, you know, I think he'll always have the feeling that he was is uniquely loved. So,
right.
You know, even if it's not just him, he'll always carry that with him. And I hope we can give that to Zachary too. That's probably my bigger fear these days is that, you know, not even said it the other day in one of her posts, that Ava's always waiting for her. You know, she's always looking at her like, when is it my turn? Yeah. And, you know, I'm starting to feel that too. So that's the new challenge.
Yeah, well, Dominic's been resilient through this whole thing, it seems to us. On the outside, you know, it's all sunshine and roses.
Yeah, with the baby, honestly, he's been way better than I expected. He's, you know, starting to show a little bit too much love sometimes, and I think that's kind of related to this whole other issue, which I'll write about with, you know, kind of his unsavory behavior coming back. But he, on the whole, has been way better with Zachary than I would have ever anticipated. So that's good.
Yeah. And, you know, he's getting bigger and we'll probably be in preschool more days. So, you know, you and Zachary will have the same time, not the same amount of time, but more time, alone time together for that bonding.
Yeah. I think that'll be really good.
Yeah. So it's a good age.
It is.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And unless you have a little victory.
As I said before, every day is a little victory.
It is. Yeah. So, you know, we would love to hear from our readers on, you know, if you feel the same way we do and just a vent. If you want someone to talk to, we're here. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And we hope to have you back here next week.
Thanks, everybody.